L is yep, for the way.
Yep, that's who you think it is. The Grimace mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. At participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Believe in Falcons. I'm your host, Will McFadden. I will be joined today by Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports. We're going to touch base on the moves in the NFC South so far in free agency. Has the hierarchy shifted in that division? Are the Falcons on top? Are the Bucks, with all of their moves to retain their guys, still kind of the lead dog? What do we make of the Saints? We'll touch on that, and then we're going to get into Luke's newest four-round mock draft. He's got the Falcons making the five picks in the first four rounds. So we're going to go kind of pick by pick and get his thoughts on who he selected for the Falcons and why, before wrapping up on who he's got the other NFC South teams taking in the first round, just to kind of get the lay of the land after Luke's first mock. So again, that is what we have on tap for you guys today. Before we get into my conversation with Luke, I want to just touch on a little bit of a trend that I've seen from a lot of the main websites and sports blogs, that the Falcons are winning free agency. And so I'm going to get into, you know, why that may be. I think we all know why it may be, but also why we may want to kind of pump the brakes on totally buying into that notion, at least as it pertains to future success and predicting that success. So that is what I've got on tap for you guys today. Please spread the word about this podcast if you can. And check us out on our YouTube page, Believe in Falcons, nice and easy for you guys there. And I encourage you guys to check out all of our other Believe Podcast Network podcasts for all of your NFL draft coverage, or if you just want to get the lay of the land on some of the other teams out there. So that's what I've got for you guys up top. Before we get to my thoughts on the Falcons winning free agency, a couple ad reads for you. The tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there. And odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. We've got a great new sponsor that I'm excited to tell y'all about. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything. Sports games, who's fast, because it's March Madness. I'm going to let y'all in on my favorite bet of all time. It was with my girlfriend at the time, my now wife, in college. We made brackets. It's the only time I've really, really made a serious March Madness bet that put some stakes on the line beyond money. And her end of the bet was that if I lost, which I ended up losing, spoiler alert, I had to wear a banana suit to class all the next day. So what did I do? I'm a man of my word, put on the banana suit, went to every single one of my classes, including my job at the student center that day with full-on regalia. I will find a picture and post it on social media. At Will McFadden is my Twitter feed. You guys go check it out and you will see what I'm talking about. But if I had the cut at that time, we certainly would have negotiated that bet over Cut. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable capabilities and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. Use our promo code BELIEVEFALCONS for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELIEVEFALCONS. Cut. Put your money where your mouth is. All right, so before we get into my conversation with Luke, just go through some major sports sites that have the Falcons dominating free agency. So CBS Sports has the Atlanta Falcons with an A for their key additions of Kirk Cousins, Darnell Mooney, and Rondale Moore. And that's really just kind of the main three. So while a lot of other teams have made plenty of moves, the way kind of the Falcons did last year to totally reinvent one side of the ball or fill just a majority of their needs, maybe they did what Tampa Bay did and just kind of kept the group together. The Falcons have not made a majority of moves. It's more about the specific moves that they made. And of course, anytime you land a quarterback, and not just any quarterback, but kind of the main quarterback in free agency and one of the main quarterbacks to hit free agency in a long time, because again, Kirk Cousins brings such a high level of floor to the organization, and quarterbacks with his track record still playing kind of in their prime. And I know given the injury, given his age, we wonder how long that window is still going to be open, but I do expect it to be there for at least this year, if not next year. And that's what the contract is, right? So I think the Falcons feel similarly, but if he is anywhere close to that, then yes, this move changes fundamentally how we should feel about Atlanta's offense. And the offense was the problem last year for the Falcons. So it makes sense why the Falcons would get an A from CBS Sports, but CBS Sports is not the only one. Sports Illustrated actually has the Atlanta Falcons as their most improved team this offseason. So again, they will mention Charlie Warner among that group, Ray McCloud, but it is Kirk Cousins, it's Rondale Moore, and it's Darnell Mooney. And that's also the reason Pro Football Focus has not just Atlanta's quarterback room as the most improved quarterback room in all of football, which again, that makes a lot of sense. You go from Desmond Ridder to Kirk Cousins. That's going to be about as big a jump as you're going to get, short of a year where you go from Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers. And so the Falcons making that move, that's a no-brainer. But I was kind of shocked to see that receiver, they also had the Falcons as the most improved receiver room. I don't think that's so much a slight to what they had last year, although this time last year, you look at it and you're like, man, they have, this is scary. This is not a group that you would feel great going into battle with, but it's more about the upside of Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore. And I think PFF is very high on both of those guys, maybe a little bit higher than you might otherwise be. Certainly Rondale Moore, but the speed element they're going to bring, they can probably open up and create space that just simply wasn't there for Atlanta last year. Not there for Drake London, not there for Kyle Pitts. I mean, how many times did we see them running that kind of dagger concept where you've got one clearing off the safety and the other kind of running that deep in behind it? And there just wasn't the speed element needed. And so many times one player could cover both guys because the clear out wasn't getting out fast enough. So that aspect, I agree with Pro Football Focus. I was just surprised that no other room, you know, I think the Bears adding Keenan Allen, like that's a pretty big upgrade. Mike Williams going over to the Jets, like that's pretty awesome as well. So I was just surprised that Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore top that list, but I like the upside for both players. I don't know who could be the wide receiver two, wide receiver three. They could probably be both at times. So again, it's going to sort itself out. But in terms of just pure names, yeah, that's not a bad batch. And then ESPN has the Falcons as kind of their fourth most improved team. And that's because of the kind of quantity aspect. Again, a smaller list, but the quality is there, which is why they get into the top four. My point about all of this, though, is that I was around in 2020, as I'm sure a lot of listeners were, right? But when the Falcons added Todd Gurley, Laquon Treadwell, Hayden Hurst, who else was on that? I've got it pulled up right here. James Carpenter, the left guard. And we were all writing headlines about, oh my God, the Falcons offense is now filled with former first round picks. All 11 starters, former first round picks. How insane going to be? It was so insane. It got Dan Quinn fired after five games. I got Thomas Dimitroff fired after five games. I mean, just because you win the offseason doesn't mean anything once the season actually starts. Yes, we're looking at what Kirk Cousins has done historically. And I have been bullish on that. I think he is going to kind of close to where he left off, because I think that this type of quarterback, their prime is actually later in their careers. They rely less on their athletic ability. Look at what Matthew Stafford is doing. Look at what historically Drew Brees did. Tom Brady continued to play at a high level late into their career. And he's only 36. Like, Matt Ryan was still playing very well at 36 years old. Phillip Rivers still playing well at 36 years old. It wasn't until 38, 39 that these guys really started to kind of hit a cliff. So I am bullish on Kirk Cousins, but until you start seeing what the actual strengths and what the actual weaknesses are on Sundays, because defenses are paid to exploit those weaknesses. Right now, we're only talking about what they're bringing. We don't know these players well enough yet to know their blind sides. Other teams are going to exploit them. We haven't seen Rondale Moore drop a pass on third down yet, you know? And I'm not saying he will, and certainly I hope he doesn't. But everything right now is viewed with rose-colored glasses. While I think it's great that the Falcons address their needs in a big way, they took a big swing to fix their biggest need. I agree with that. I think that's awesome. But because they took such a big swing and because he cost so much money, it may have limited their ability to add one more guy in the secondary or go get that big pass rusher if they wanted to trade for him. Now we'll see what the consequences of that could be. But there is no question, making that move has rightfully earned Atlanta atop a lot of these offseason winner lists. I'm just saying that doesn't mean once the fall actually comes around. I'm joined now by Luke Easterling of Athlon Sports. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. Nice and simple. Luke, thanks for taking the time to join me, man. How are you doing?
My pleasure. I'm in enemy territory here, born and raised here in the Tampa area. So don't tell all of my Bucks followers that I'm here.
Same. I'm a native Atlantean. So, you know, we come at it from, you know, opposing perspectives, but at least we've got a lot of history to call upon with these two NFC South rivals. And actually, that's a great place to start. We know that the Falcons made kind of the big splash move of free agency. But the Bucs, kind of right there behind them, keeping a lot of guys around. I'm curious, the moves this offseason, do you think it changes the NFC South landscape? Because I know a lot of people now view the Falcons as kind of that clear favorite. I'm not so sure. I still think Tampa Bay has a lot to offer. How do you see things?
Yeah, I think that it becomes a bit more of a competition now. And I think Atlanta throws themselves into that conversation. I think last year, you know, everybody was wondering what the Bucs would look like to a certain extent after obviously the departure of Tom Brady. You knew you had some free agents and changing of the guard with the offensive staff, and weren't really sure what that was going to look like. I know a lot of people expected a huge regression there. Obviously that did not happen. They, you know, relied on a lot of that championship experience. Baker Mayfield had the best year of his career, and the Bucs still kind of had to eke it out there at the end, right? And I think the Saints have always made sense as like a default. Like, well, it's a terrible division, and the team that's probably going to win it is probably the older, more experienced team that has the more veteran quarterback. And so when you started last offseason to kind of check those boxes, you probably ended up saying, the Saints will probably go 8-9 and still win and then get blown out in the first round of the playoffs, because that's what the plan was, right? And so this year, I think it's a different conversation where, you know, I think the Saints – didn't really look like any kind of contender for much of last season. I think the Bucs obviously had their stretches where they were doubted, and rightly so, and then picked it up right at the right time. But Atlanta, I don't think, you know, Atlanta was always in a, you know, rebuildy type of conversation. I don't think anybody was really sure that Ridder was going to be the guy, even heading into that season. So for the Falcons in particular, I think the move to make Kirk Cousins the franchise quarterback, it really kind of launches them. Again, it feels similar in ways to the Derek Carr signing for New Orleans last year, where it was just like, we know we have some pieces around. Mm-hmm. We know we're in a very winnable division. What does it take to get there? It takes a reliable quarterback. And I think that Kirk Cousins fit that bill. Obviously, they went and paid a premium for that. But that's the difference is when you have – and I'm going to be honest, again, as a Bucs guy, I'm not thrilled that you guys have Raheem Morris back as your head coach. I'm not happy about
it. Interesting. Okay.
He's a damn good head coach.
I agree.
I think he's going to be – I mean, he was here for 3 years. He went from a defensive backs coach to a head coach at a very young age here in Tampa Bay. And just, I don't think anybody's ready for that, you know, to make that jump.
And it was a very short, like, time frame, right? He was supposed to be the defensive coordinator and then just immediately jumped to head coach.
Yep. And there's some people you can talk to around these parts that have some fun stories about how all that went down. I can't attest to any of them because I wasn't there, but... Yeah. From what I've heard, it was a very interesting transition with the firing of John Gruden and then with Raheem Morris kind of being launched into that spot. But my point is that he may not have been ready then, but he still took one of the least talented Bucs teams of like that generation, and they won 10 games and barely missed the playoffs based on a tiebreaker. And so players resonated with him so much. And I think everybody who saw the potential that he had during those 3 years in Tampa Bay have just kind of been waiting for him to get his next shot, because we all kind of root for him. And now it's with the Falcons, so we can't root for him, which is disappointing. But I think my point is that he's going to handle the defensive side of things. I don't think there will be much of a drop off, if any at all, in terms of how well they play defense. They still have, again, some stud players on that side of the ball. I think they're going to add some more in this draft class now that they've handled the quarterback situation. But all that to say, there are a lot of reasons why I totally understand people being like, okay, the Falcons have what it takes. Obviously, you have the offensive weapons that you've invested in over the last three or four drafts, and now you have the quarterback. You have a head coach who I think is going to be more aggressive and be able to get more out of his team than we saw under Arthur Smith. And I think good news for the Falcons, and I think bad news for everybody else in that division.
Well, I mean, that is great to hear from an Atlanta perspective, but you're totally right about Raheem Morris. I mean, I was there in the building for 4 years while he was there with Dan Quinn, and it made complete sense to me immediately why he would be the choice to kind of go back to, right? He is way more personable as a player coach. Like, everybody in the building loves him. He can get everybody galvanized on the same page. And if there was a team that felt like it didn't need to go in a different direction, it just kind of needed new management and to kind of keep things on track from a roster standpoint, he's the type of coach that you can plug in here and probably get different results out of different guys while you still have some of the same pieces in place. So, and my favorite thing about him in kind of this whole cycle was that what you just mentioned about the first time around with Tampa and what he was able to do with a young roster, with a depleted roster in some ways, and kind of turn them around so quickly. Like, he did that, and then everything after that job is why I liked him as a head coach. So even if he didn't have that head coaching experience the first time around, he would be one of the strongest candidates in this class. And it's like, oh, and he's also already done it for 3 years. So, yeah.
And I'm still super young, because again, he started so early. That, and again, I do think that head coaching experience is gonna come in handy. He's gonna have a long list of don't do that again. You know, do this differently, and be able to grow from the experience that he had with the other coaches around him. And again, like you mentioned, all the other stops and defensive coordinator stops and places. You don't think he learned, you know, how to manage an entire team from Sean McVay? You don't think he picked up certain things from defending his offense that is going to help.
Now think of all the coordinators he has worked with. Like, he was the defensive guy in that Washington class that has gone on to put out Mike McDaniel and Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, everybody. Right. He was the defensive guru in that class. So, like, if there's somebody who could maybe come up with an interesting counter to what the offenses are doing in this league, it definitely could be Raheem Morris. To the Kirk Cousins part of it all really quickly, and then we'll get into some mock draft stuff.
Sure.
I interestingly think that Arthur Smith kind of did a good job of raising the floor of this team, which was the issue under Dan Quinn kind of the first time around. You had all this talent, but it just kind of bottomed out at times in the weirdest possible ways. Yep. But then you get three straight 7-win seasons when two of those seasons are kind of overperforming. It's weird that the quarterback position, they just never got a floor on. You know, the Desmond Ridder had such a huge variability, and maybe he could do better than you expected and you win 11 games and you're a surprise team, but he also could go the other way and you could have been like a 4-win team if he had been even worse than he was. So Kirk Cousins certainly raises the floor of this group because he just brings a baseline level of competency at the position for such a long period of time that barring any type of unforeseen cliff, like we saw out of maybe Matt Ryan in Indianapolis or Philip Rivers in Indianapolis, barring anything like that, or just the injury is way more kind of lingering than we expect and it just impacts him, I do think you're going to get a strong level of quarterback play. So to me, the ceiling for this Falcons team, offensively at least, now kind of pivots back to these young guys that we're all excited about, but the pressure almost shifts to them because you should have a quarterback that is like Chris Paul and able to distribute the ball on time where it's supposed to go. Now those guys have to do something with it. So I still think that Tampa has the best set of like receiving, the receiving group in Tampa is my favorite, but I am curious to see what Drake London can do with Kirk Cousins. I'm curious to see if Darnell Mooney can bounce back. So any final thoughts on that before we pivot over to the draft?
Yeah, I think, again, you mentioned not just the young guys that they've had in that building for a couple of years now, but I really like some of the additions they made. I think Darnell Mooney and even Rondale Moore are both high upside additions that if they don't work out, again, Mooney got a little bit of money, so you're really hoping that works out. But you know, Mooney to me feels like a very Russell Gagey kind of player in that, like, you know, undersized and banged up a little because of that, but great route runner, can separate if he's healthy, which again, Russell Gage, unfortunately, even down here in Tampa, that just didn't work out because he couldn't stay healthy. But when he was, I mean, Russell Gage would kill the Bucks. That's why they signed him, right? Because he was always putting up big numbers against them. But I love the potential of Mooney and Moore in that offense. And I also think that, again, with the early picks that the Falcons have, and I'm sure we'll get into this, the opportunity to add another weapon to that offense and to just keep giving Kirk Cousins whatever. I think my biggest concern with Kirk Cousins, and I'll end with this, is 36 years old and coming off a torn Achilles. And I think that, again, he's not he's not the guy that's going to necessarily want to get out of the pocket and do much. You're not going to need him to do that as much. I think that would be my biggest concern, especially with the financial investment, is you are talking about a guy who's older, guy who's coming off a serious injury. That's really, I think, the only thing that should keep this Falcons offense from being a huge improvement over what we've seen the last few years.
Yeah, and just to pile on that, I had Dr. Chow on earlier this week to kind of talk to me about Kirk Cousins' injury, just the Achilles rehab process. And one key difference that he noted with maybe somebody like Aaron Rodgers, who's coming off of this, is it's a right Achilles injury, which is going to be the drive foot for Kirk Cousins. So you got to be able to really kind of push a lot of your body weight quickly off of that. If you're going to step up in the pocket, you know, it could be off of that one. So
that's true.
Just one more thing to note, but he anticipates Kirk Cousins to be ready to go week one. But again, it's not just availability. It's then how do you play on top of that? So let's pivot over to the draft. You have a new 4-round mock draft up on the Fan Nation page over at si.com that I encourage everybody to go check out. But you've got the Falcons taking a pretty common name. I had him not at 8. I actually did some weird trades. It was my first time getting into mock draft trades. I would do it differently when I do it over again. I kind of did some shenanigans there, but ultimately we both ended up with Dallas Turner in the first round for Atlanta. Why does he make sense to you?
Well, I think obviously you're trying to pair needs with talent, right? So you look at the needs now after the first couple waves of free agency, and I think the biggest need for Atlanta is still for that difference maker off the edge, right? You need a pass rusher who can strike fear into the hearts of offensive tackles and opposing quarterbacks. And I think there's some upside. There's still some young upside on that roster, some rotational guys that I think could improve and could be quality starters, but we just haven't seen it yet. And so when I think about sitting there at 8, you're thinking about the fact that No defensive player is going to come off the board yet, in my opinion. When you look at the quarterbacks that are going to come off, you're going to look at those top three elite receivers that are going to come off, maybe a left tackle. I think you're sitting at eight, and no defensive players have come off the board. So you're saying, you know, what defensive player is worthy of that? Who deserves to be the first one? And thankfully for Atlanta, I think it's at the position that they need the most. And when you look at Turner, obviously the athletic profile is there. He's got the size. He's got the athleticism, obviously what he did at the combine. But that stuff shows up on film. He looks like that kind of athlete on film. And, you know, for a guy who kind of had to wait his turn behind Will Anderson Jr., and again, it's not uncommon for Alabama guys to have to wait a little while, but when he finally got the chance this past season to be a full-time starter, 15 tackles for loss, 11 sacks, you know, you saw the ability there. And again, the versatility, he's such a great athlete that if you need him to drop into space, you need him to, you know, slide out and check tight ends and be survive in a way that he's not just a pass rusher. He's obviously the kind of athlete who can do that. So when you think about as a prospect in general, is he worthy of a top 10 pick? I think absolutely. When you look at how he fits with not just the team need, but the defense, the scheme, exactly what they need from that position, I think he checks all those boxes too. And so when you put all those things together, I think that's why it's such a common name, is because all of those things line up and you really have to reach to find another guy that fits that spot and fits what they need more than Dallas Turner does.
Yeah, it's that athleticism bit and kind of the ability to do a little bit more than just rush the passer at a high level compared to somebody like Jared Verse, who I think is also the player that a lot of people feel, at least caliber wise, is kind of maybe worthy of a top 10 fringe top 10 pick. But when you look at what I expect this defense to kind of be in 2024, more of that 3-4 base look, your outside linebackers are going to be primarily pass rushers, but because I expect Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake to bring over that kind of version of the Vic Fangio defense that they were running over in LA, you're going to have a lot of post-snap movement, rotating a safety down, maybe shifting your coverage. And so at times that's going to necessitate one of those outside rushers, to drop in and be a little bit of a dummy rusher so you can simulate pressure from somewhere else. And that little aspect right there is why you could look at Jared Verse and say, all right, he brings some of that power element that you would want as maybe a run defender or some of the inside out rush versatility. But I just think Dallas Turner brings like straight your hair is on fire tenacity off the edge. He's just going to knife in. He may not be as powerful, but he'll almost do like a Euro step kind of around a tackle type of move, which I love to get that half man advantage. So that's why, like, Dallas Turner, you're right. It rarely does it
gets
it
boring.
Like
it gets boring, right? It does. But it's too good of a fit.
It makes too much sense.
I agree about Verse too. I think he's probably the more polished guy in the general sense. I think he's probably got a higher floor in that, at worst, I think he's going to be JPP at the next level, right? Where even when his explosiveness kind of leaves later in his career, he's such a damn good run defender that he's just always going to be on the field. And so I think you're right. Scheme will play a big part in that. If I ran more of a 4-3 base where he would be a base end who can hold the edge against the run, win with power and counters inside or outside, then he's probably my guy who, again, I think might have a more immediate impact because he's so polished and experienced. But yeah, I think the athleticism and the ceiling and the fit with Turner is just so good. I mean, he ran in the 4-4s. You could stick him in the slot. You can put it, the alignment things that you can do with a guy like that, because he can survive athletically in space and in different matchups, allows you to move those known rushers around at the, like you said, the pre and post snap movement. It allows you to do so many more things with a guy who can, you can't just look out there and say, oh, he's in the slot, but he's coming. He's not going to, it's just window dressing. It's not like that with a guy like Turner. You know, he can stay out in space and survive, and you can do so many more things when you have a defensive coach like Raheem Morris coming in. I have a hard time believing that he wouldn't kind of stand on the table for a guy like that allows him to do so many fun things.
Yeah, and I mean, also the time that Raheem Morris spent with Dan Quinn, who we know that defense just values athletes, dudes who are just different, which is why I keep looking at, you know, if they don't go end, I could see them maybe going with that number two corner spot. And you look at a guy like Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell, both of those guys make a lot of sense from that perspective. So there's options for Atlanta, which could be maybe they make a small hop back if a Denver, if a Vegas wants to move up to grab a quarterback. There's options for Atlanta at number eight.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
L is yep, for the way.
That's who you think it is. The Grimace mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. At participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At number 43, you have them going with Renardo Green, the Florida State cornerback, who, I'll be honest, even in all of my draft prep, and I'm nowhere near the expert that you are, but in my cursory studying, I hadn't come across Renardo Green. I hadn't gotten him yet on the list. I know that some people have him listed as a safety, so there's some versatility to his game, but tell me about Renardo Green.
Yeah, I have to plead the same thing, right? Because I did the scouting capsules for the Athlon Sports Draft Guide this year. So I when I was going through and putting together my list of corners and going through, he's not even in the magazine. Like if you go buy the magazine, which I please go buy the magazine, but if you go look, he's not even in there. I didn't make it to Renardo Green by the time press time happened, right? Because we have to have all that stuff done really early.
You got Cam Hart, you got Max Belton, you got those.
Those guys, but man, Renardo's nowhere to be found because I just hadn't made it that far yet. And obviously when I find, there's a couple other guys that I was like, oh my gosh, if I had seen this guy beforehand, like he'd be not just in it, but like in the second, third round. And Renardo's definitely one of those guys. I just got to him way too late. And then when you get to the film and you see what he did, I believe he was at the Shrine game, just a very comfortable, confident, particularly in press and match man situations where he just stands up against everybody. And if you go back and look at when he did his best work, it was against LSU. Yep. And so when your best film is against two of the elite receivers in this draft, Malik Nabers, who you could make a strong case is the best receiver in this draft, depending on what you need, and Brian Thomas Jr., who just an absolute, I mean, at that size and speed, again, I think he's a comfy wide receiver four for me in this class, even in such a deep class. But I mean, go watch that tape. Go watch what Renardo Green did with both of those guys, and you'll understand why he's a day two guy, I think, for a lot of people. And again, just kind of checks all the boxes. Big enough, long enough, fast enough. And again, just has the mentality, the physicality, the confidence that I mean, in order to play corner in this league, you have to be stupidly confident. Like you have to have like a detached from reality amount of I am the best player to ever play this position in the history of the world. That's like the mentality that I think if you talk to a lot of corners, that's just how they operate on the field. They have to do that because it's the hardest position in the game to play. And so Green is a guy who I think he'll feel like one of those risers, right? We say guys rise up the board this time of year. What all that means is that we are starting to figure out just how much the league actually has always liked this guy and we're just figuring it out now. And I think Renardo Green will be one of those guys. I love this corner class, but I think he's a guy that might come off the board higher than usual. And again, I think would be a great fit for what they need across from AJ Terrell. I do think, like you mentioned, though, like corner's a dark horse first round position for them. And I think part of that is that's Raheem's wheelhouse, right? He's a DB guy.
Yeah.
And I think if he falls in love with the right corner, I tweeted this a long time ago when I really dove deep into Terrion Arnold, I was like, man, I feel like Raheem's going to fall in love with this guy and be like, I know we need a pass rusher, man, but I need this guy. I need this DB on my team because he's so fluid, so sound. And that wouldn't shock me at all. Especially like you said, if they drop down a little bit, Arnold would be such a great fit there too.
Yeah. The one reason why I keep coming back to that edge rusher is because of some of that depth that you were talking about. If you look at wide receiver, sure, the Falcons could go and add like a stud receiver in the first round, but the addition of Darnell Mooney changes that a little bit. And then they could also grab, you know, somebody really solid on day two that would still come in and have a lot of upside. Corner is kind of the same way, but I don't feel that way necessarily about edge. Like there's not a day two edge or, you know, many of them really past kind of the first couple of guys that you feel has that true, true upside. So that kind of is just pure math for me at that point.
Yep.
But you have the Falcons going wide receiver in the third round with Jalen Polk at 74. And that's, you know, a name I've seen creep up into the first round at times. So it seems like there could be a little bit of a window or a range there on him. You know, why is Polk your right guy for Atlanta there?
So in terms of Polk and his range in just in general, I think the fact that he ended up every time I do a deep mock like that, I get to the halfway through the third round and I'm like, how in the hell are these four receivers still there? Like I literally will have to scroll back through and I'm like, no, not there. Like there's nowhere to go. Like
it's the position I find that I keep having fall down the board too, just because again, the depth really pushes it back.
It's wild, man. And again, I think the fun thing about this draft in a general sense is that you also have three elite wide receivers at the top, right? So it's not like it's a weird conundrum for a team like, you know, the Giants or the Chargers at 5 and 6, where they'll be like, I could take an elite wide receiver, but if I wait, I can get a first round wide receiver halfway through the second round.
Yeah.
What should I do here? So it's an interesting situation, but for the Falcons, it just always seems like a guy that I would love to take in the 40s ends up on the board in the 70s. And I just can't not do that, especially when they have multiple thirds from the Calvin Ridley deal. I feel like one of those they've got to put themselves in a position, which again speaks to why you got to get that edge rusher early to make sure you don't have to worry about that. Get that number two corner if you can. But that I feel like that third round, there's going to be so many quality receivers, whether it's Ricky Pearsall Jr. or Roman Wilson. Jalen Polk, what's the common thread with all these guys? Super polished, great route runners, reliable, strong hands at the catch point. Got that is all number two receiver stuff. Like my guy has to do those things really, really well, so that while Drake London is drawing coverage and drawing roles, you know, to his side of the field, I know I have a number two option who's always going to be open. And when you get again a guy like Mooney, who's you know can take the top off, can challenge from the slot. That number two guy has to do all those fundamental things really, really well. And I just think there's too many guys clustered in that range who are going to keep getting knocked down the board because there's 10 or 12 other positions that teams are going to have to fill. And I just, every time I do it, there's somebody like that. It just happened to be Polk in this scenario that I just, he's such a winner at the catch point, man. Again, he's not a blazer. He's not going to blow by everybody, but he's so technically and fundamentally sound with the little things in this game that I feel like he's the perfect wide receiver two for really any offense because he does all those little things so well. And again, in the third round, it's just a no-brainer. I couldn't go anywhere but receiver there because of all the value that was on the board.
Yeah, I mean, that all makes perfect sense to me. And if you look at how, you know, the common and popular refrain is that you can build a receiver room like a basketball team, right?
Yep,
like starting five, and you can have your different elements that complement each other. And Drake London hopefully evolves to become a little bit of that do-it-all, but like his physicality and obviously his ability to win at the catch point is his signature. But then if you are adding Darnell Mooney and almost that like Van Jefferson role or Allen Robinson, what he was supposed to be with the Rams, that type of element of speed, but also, you know, a little bit of athleticism and can move around all over the formation. You bring in a guy like Jalen Polk or Roman Wilson is kind of the trio that you mentioned, like he's the beauty of the eye of the beholder there for me. But yeah, that number two who's a savvy route runner, wins on third down, like when you need to have it, can kind of come through. So that makes a lot of sense if you're looking at that missing element of Atlanta's wide receiver room right now.
Well, and you mentioned it earlier with the Bucs, right? That's why their tandem works so well. You've got the big physical, stretch the field, big play, kind of do it all guy in Mike Evans. And Godwin is just the perfect two. He can go in the slot. He can line up on the outside. He wins those tough battles. He's physical. He's well-built. You know, there's so many things that understanding route depths and third down situations and where the chains are and the strong hands. There's so many reasons why he fits that so well. And that a guy like Polk, I think, has a lot of those same traits and would be the perfect match to a guy like London as well.
You've got LSU defensive tackle Mekhi Wingo at number 79 for Atlanta. Another player I don't know too much about, so tell me about him.
I think he's the perfect Grady Jarrett understudy, basically. A guy who, undersized, but not lacking for the explosiveness, right? Makes up for it with his ability to knife into the backfield, to use those slants and stunts and angles to kind of beat guys to the point. And again, there's an element of stature when you're talking about interior guys that you can have an advantage because you're not as tall as some of these other guys. If you're Rook Ohorohoro, who's 6'4", getting pad level inside against some of these 6'2", 6'3", guards is really tough off the ball. And so when you got a guy like Mekhi Wingo, who I think is 6'1", at best, he's still wide, but he's so explosive off the ball. And I think when you look at – go read – if you were to put – take the names off and go find a Grady Jarrett scouting report from that draft.
From Clemson, 2015.
Yeah, and look at what Mekhi Wingo brings as a prospect here, and you would change the names. You might see so many, many similarities there where they're like, they're probably too small, but, man, they're really good when they're good and good at what they do. And I feel like the fit was too good. It's probably time to find that guy to kind of groom – to have that role in the next
generation.
He'll
be 31 at the start of this season, coming off of an ACL injury. So
I just think it was too perfect, too great a fit, and too similar of a prospect to not bring him in and let him learn behind Grady as he kind of has that twilight of his career and just have a seamless transition to another undersized. Again, Grady was a fifth-round pick too. So, I mean, he was a guy that wasn't even expected to become what he became. But here you can find a guy that has similar traits that you can kind of learn under him and grow and hopefully become – the kind of player who can have the same impact.
I think undersized defensive tackle who is exceptionally quick and explosive and plays with great leverage is like my favorite every single year in the draft.
You must love this class. There's three prospects every year that fit.
Yeah, but this year especially. I mean, you look at Byron Murphy in the first round, even Newton is quintessential.
Newton slightly undersized. You got Wingo. I think Chris Jenkins is probably a little bit smaller.
Yep.
But there's a lot of those guys. You must enjoy this interior class a lot because I feel like there's a lot of those guys.
I'm a sucker for undersized defensive tackles and undersized linebackers that can run.
Michael Hall Jr. is another one.
It's huge. Like it because it's working, right? When you do have some guys in the NFL who go on to have success, then Christian Wilkins, Grady Jarrett, those guys had the same exact type of label coming out. But let's wrap up the Falcons look with fourth round, you've got UNC linebacker Cedric Gray. I am familiar with his play a little bit, but I'm curious what your logic is here because I look at what I expect this defense to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be inside linebacker heavy, and they do already have a few guys at the position that I really like. So what was this? Was this value? Was this special teams? Was this depth? What in your mind?
Yeah, all of the above. I think that when you have a guy that brings Cedric Gray's amount of size and length and athleticism and range, at that point in the draft, if he had gone around earlier, I would have been fine with it in terms of a value standpoint. But I do wonder how some of these teams are going to value the inside linebackers. They just got to be the right fit. So it was kind of similar to Polk, where it got to the point where I feel like I do like what Atlanta has at the position at the moment, but that should never keep you from everybody can get injured. It got to the point where I looked at every other position that would have made maybe a little more sense from a need standpoint. And I didn't have anybody else that I liked enough to pass on a guy like Gray and what he could add to that room immediately, probably push some of those guys for some defensive snaps, but obviously give you special teams value right away with the upside to become a starter very, very quickly, because I really like the traits that he brings.
Well, and that's exactly the right mentality to have pretty much like fourth round on. When you start getting into day three, it is less about need. And for Atlanta under Terry Fontenot, it's never been hugely about need anyway. But yeah, when you get into day four, it's just like, we need to add some talent that we feel like we can work with and maybe develop, and who is just the best guy available. So that makes a lot of sense. Luke, I'll just kind of wrap it up, I guess, with the rest of the NFC South in the first round in your mock draft. You've got the Saints taking J.C. Latham at 14, and then you've got the Bucks trading back, actually, with Kansas City. It's interesting. We had some same team player pairings. Like, I had Amarius Mims actually falling all the way to 32 with Kansas City, but you had them trading up to grab him, and you have the Bucks going back and getting Graham Barton at 32. So talk to me about Latham and Barton before I let you go.
So with Latham, I think, I mean, offensive line is clearly the biggest need, I think, for New Orleans. I think they need another edge guy too, but, you know, bringing in Chase Young kind of plugs that hole for the short term. And I still think they would go there day two with Cam Jordan and him getting up there in age. But I think the offensive line is so immediate. Like, they've got, and they're perfectly placed in that first round to get a really, really great player. I think that core group of tackles, whether it's Fuaga or Latham or Mims or any of them, I mean, any of those guys, if Fashanu falls that far. But I think Latham is great because Latham can play either tackle spot or guard if you need him to at that frame and that size. And I think, again, coming from Alabama, you know he's going to be super polished. You know he's going to be pro ready. He's just absolutely massive and rarely athletic for that size. So I think he fits in anywhere the Saints need to plug a starter on the offensive line, which pretty much everywhere, I think he could fit in a good way. And I think with Barton, very similar situation with Tampa Bay, where the tackles are set. They really like right guard Cody Mauch from last year's draft class, who made huge strides over the season. But left guard is a glaring need. Center, they would really like to upgrade. Robert Hainsey has been doing his best since they lost Ryan Jensen to that devastating knee injury. But they really would like to upgrade both of those spots. And with a guy like Barton, who really can play all five positions, I know most of his experience is at left tackle, but he probably is a better guard at the next level and probably even a better center. So I think what I like most from a Bucks perspective about going after Barton, and I do think the team really likes him. I think that's the guy they really would like to come away with. I think Jackson Powers Johnson is probably in that conversation too, but I think they really like Barton. And again, with a guy like Barton who has more versatility, you can take him in the first round, and then depending on how the board falls the rest of the way, if you like the guard better later, you can play him at center. Yeah. If you like the center better later, you can move him to guard. And that gives you a little bit more flexibility to take the versatile guy early and then see how the rest of the board falls to fill that other spot, whichever one it is based on the board.
Yeah, no, that's a great way of thinking about it strategically. I had Zach Frazier going to the Bucks kind of in that first round, who you didn't mention there on the center list, but it's only because I had Graham Barton kind of going to the Cowboys a couple picks before, which is also a pretty common mock team player pairing. But Luke, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. Please let our listeners know where they can find you and what you got coming down the pipe.
Yeah. So again, on Twitter, I'm pretty simple, at Luke Easterling, and then come on over to athlonsports.com, where we've got all kinds of draft coverage. We're going to have all the scouting report information that you can find in the magazine, which, again, I don't know about you. I'm an old school guy. I love to have the magazine my hand. Still makes me feel like a kid. I love reading that stuff. We're going to have so much information on the website as well. So athlonsports.com, come on over to social media and we can talk draft all day long, and definitely go out and pick up a copy of that magazine.
Everybody do it. I do it every year. That and Phil Steele, the college football
guy,
two must-haves every year. So. Yep. All right, Luke, thank you so much again, man.
Hey, my pleasure, Will. Take care, man.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's podcast, which, as always, was presented by Bet Online. Thank you to Luke for joining me once again. Stuff at Athlon Sports. Go pick up a copy of the draft guide wherever you can. We'll be back again next week, continuing to talk about the NFL draft. That's basically what we're going to have on tap for you guys from here on out. So until then, everybody, take care.
L is for the way.
That's who you think it is. The Grimace mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.